Yesterday, the Eroji spoke about how the phenomena of how mental and physical phenomena are occurring with every bodily movement that is made. And he spoke about this in detail. He'll continue this today for our general knowledge. And if we practice accordingly, we will come to see how this occurs. So today, he will speak about the major postures of going, that is, walking, and stopping or standing. In walking, there's one part walking, just noting stepping, or two-part walking, noting lifting and placing, or a three-part walking, lifting, moving, and placing. Lifting, by what we mean by that is when the foot is touching the ground, lifting that foot up. So that's what we're calling lifting. And the lifting is what happens from the moment the foot starts to separate from the floor until it's up. And in the lifting, there's a series of intentions to lift up the foot, and there's a series of lifting up that happens, the foot gradually becoming light. And then placing the foot, when we're doing two-part walking, is just releasing the foot and letting it go down. In lifting, moving, and placing, there's just nama and rupa, just mental and physical phenomena. And to see the mental and physical phenomena, which are really there in the lifting, we have to observe it at the moment that the lifting happens. So it's said, while lifting, while moving, while placing, always apply observation. So in the moment of lifting, what lifts up is the body, so the physical sensations of lifting up, that's physical. Intention is mind. There's no you nor I, no person nor soul. Lifting is just body and mind. So to see the phenomena that happens in the moment of lifting, we have to observe it right at the moment it happens. Two, in the moment of moving, what moves is the body, intention is mind. There's no person nor soul, woman or man in that. In moving, there's just body and mind. But when we place our attention on the movement of the foot forward, we may feel pushing from behind or pulling from the front, whatever, according to the intention, according to the mental intention, the moving is taking place. And then in the placing too, in the moment of placing, what is placed is the body, intention is mind. So there's just these two things happening. The foot goes down, becomes heavy, and touches the ground. And then there's feelings of hardness, softness, gentleness. So to know these at the moment of placing and stepping down, one has to observe it with effort as it happens. And even if knowledge hasn't developed yet, when we observe with effort and accurate aim, the mind does not go anywhere else. It stays on the object, the lifting, moving, or placing. And at that moment, what we observe is one of three things. We might observe the form of the leg, its shape, or we might come to know its position, that it's lifting up, or that it's moving forward, or being placed down. Or we might come to know the true nature that is there, the mental and physical phenomena. These become apparent when our mental energy is strong. So to apply ardent effort and accurate aim is the yogi's job. And now, to speak about feelings, vedana in Pali, or feeling in English. And there are two kinds, basically, good and bad. Due to good contact, there's a good feeling, mental or physical. And due to bad contact, there's a bad, unpleasant feeling, mental or physical. So, for example, in the body, when the body has contact with something hard, it usually feels bad. And when we have contact, when there's contact with something sharp, that also feels bad. But when there's contact with something that is soft or gentle, it feels good. When there's contact with extreme cold or extreme heat, that doesn't feel good. But when there's extreme hot heat, and then there's the gentle coolness of a fan, it feels pleasant. When there's extreme stiffness, it feels bad. But when that relaxes, it feels good. So according to these good and bad objects, there's good and bad contact, and from that comes feeling. There's also neutral feeling, but these are not obvious at the start of practice. These are obvious at the upper stages of insight. At the beginning, it's mostly just good and bad. So in the mind or in the body, wherever it happens to occur, if there's good or bad feeling, it needs to be observed, applying effort to observe it at the moment it happens and applying accurate aim according to the method of Satipatthana. And if we observe it as it is every time there's a feeling, then there won't be any anger, dosa, arising due to a bad feeling. And when there's a good, pleasant feeling, there won't be any craving for more. One knows the feeling as it is, and so one will be free of lobha and dosa, free of greed and anger. And this knowing it as it is vedananupassana, satipatthana. When we observe vedanas too, we have to apply a label to them. And sometimes at the start of practice, there's the thinking mind, the reflecting mind, the knowing mind comes up. And this is called citta. There may be the mind that is connected with lobha or desire. There may be the mind that is free of desire. There may be the mind, the dissatisfied mind, the mind connected with dosa or anger, and the mind that is free of dissatisfaction or anger. There's the mind connected with ignorance and delusion, and there's the mind that is free of that. There's the scattered mind, the doubting mind. There's various kinds, but basically there's just two, clean and unclean. But whatever mind arises, as soon as it arises, note it with a label and observe it the way it is. Whatever type of thinking, reflecting mind, whatever type of consciousness arises, we have to note it as soon as it arises. Further, we have to observe the main object with ardent effort, so that the mind doesn't wander. And so that if it does wander, we know immediately. Yogis who are practicing respectfully, if the mind wanders at all, they know the wandering mind immediately. It's best if the mind doesn't, if one can note so that the mind does not wander. But at least one should note so that one knows the wandering as soon as it happens, and can bring the mind back. So whenever any type of mind arises, We have to observe it so as to know it and apply the mental label. And in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha also speaks about dhatu, or elements. And these are the striker element, the base element, and the spark element. So the striker element, by that we mean the six types of objects that can be known: sights, sounds, smells, tastes, tangible objects, and mental objects such as thoughts. And then the six base elements, or six receptors, these are the six sense doors: the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind door. These are the six receptor elements. So when the object strikes one of these six bases, for example, when form strikes the eye base, there's a spark that arises, a mental spark. This is made up of seeing consciousness and contact and feeling. So these are the mental elements that arise in seeing. And the same process occurs at all the other five sense doors. Each has their own type of object. Sound strikes the ear, smell strikes the nose, tastes strike the tongue, touches strike the body, and mental objects strike the mind door. And at that moment, there's a spark of consciousness, the relevant type of consciousness, hearing consciousness, for example, hearing contact and hearing feeling. So each of these types of sense experiences has to be noted. Whenever an object appears at one of the sense doors, we have to observe it as it happens. In the moment of seeing, a visible form is what is seen, and the eye is the receptor for this. And then there's a spark that occurs, seeing consciousness, seeing contact, and feeling. And all these elements or components combined is known as seeing. And that's how we observe it, as seeing. So if one observes in the moment of seeing, one will see there's just mind and body. So when in the moment of seeing, there's the eye base, the element, the visible object that strikes it, and the resultant consciousness, contact, and feeling. To see these when they happen, we have to be able to see these elements, we have to observe right in the moment that seeing happens. And when we do, we see that there is just mental and physical phenomena happening when we can observe seeing at the very moment. That is, when our mental energy is strong. And later we come to see that it's because there is an object, a visible object, that seeing occurs. Or we see that it's because of the eye base that the seeing consciousness occurs. So we come to know how these are related as cause and effect. So in order to know the base element of the sense door, the striker, or the object, and the resultant mental phenomena, consciousness, contact, and feeling, we have to observe them when they happen with effort and accurate aim. And when we do, we will come to know the mental and physical components that are there. When hearing is known, there are three elements that are involved. There's the sound wave that strikes the ear base. It may be the sound of rain or wind or speech, or it could be internal sounds that happen in one's body. and also involved is the ear base. When the sound wave arises and strikes the ear base, then hearing consciousness, contact, and feeling arise, and one knows the sound. So sometimes what one knows is that the ear is where the hearing happens. One is aware of the ear base. And sometimes one is aware that of how the sound strikes the ear. Sometimes one is aware of how the sound is is known by the mind. Sometimes what one knows is the hearing that is happening, or one knows the sense of contact between the mind and the sound at the ear base. And sometimes what one knows is the feeling, good or bad. If it's a sound that is pleasant, then there may be a good feeling, and sound that is unpleasant, a bad feeling. So one comes to know, one notes it as hearing, and sometimes one's mind falls on one of the physical components, and then we know the physical part of hearing. Sometimes one's mind falls on the mental component, consciousness, contact, or feeling, and one knows the mental part of hearing. When there's a fragrance or a smell striking the ear, striking the nose, then the same elements too are found of base, striker, and spark. There's various types of smells: rotten smells, foul smells, fragrant smells. And with the help of air, these travel on the air to the nose, and they enter the nose. When there's a rotten, bad smell that enters the nose, then there's a bad feeling. And on the other hand, if it's something fragrant, it's good to smell. There's a good feeling. And there's the meeting of the fragrance, the smell, and the mind contact. So there's a combination of elements, physical and mental, that occur in the moment of smelling: the base, the striker, and the spark. And we call it smelling. And to know the mental and physical phenomena that happen at that moment as they are, we have to note smelling as soon as it arises. In eating, there are six flavors in food that is eaten, and these strike the tongue base. The food may be sweet or sour, hot, bland, bitter, or salty. So the food is put on the tongue, and the food mixes with the saliva, and one knows the taste each time. There are many tastes that can be known one after another. So knowing the taste is taste consciousness. And then there's the contact between the mind and the food on the tongue base. And there's a feeling when the taste is something that we consider good, then there's a good feeling. If the taste is something that one considers bad, then there's a bad feeling. For example, for people who don't like chilies, when one gets a chili, there's a bad feeling according to that taste. So if one wants to know the mental and physical elements called the base, the striker, and the spark, as they occur in the moment of eating, one has to observe all the time when one is eating. And if one is noting and knowing in the moment of eating, then there won't be any raga or lust arising for what one likes. And there won't be any anger when one meets up with something one typically would dislike. There's just observation. And every time there's observation, no raga arises, no dosa arises. There's just neutral feeling. If one eats with close observation, one can gain special dhamma at that time. In the moment of touching, there's mental and physical elements occurring, the base, the striker, and the spark. This category is very broad. For example, in the rising and in the falling, a tangible object strikes the body base. Stiffness, tension, cold, heat, hard, softness, gentleness. Basically, there is the earth element, fire, temperature element, and air element in combination, and these are make up a tangible object. This is what one can feel. So everything, rising, falling, sitting, touching, lying, leaning, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, opening and closing the eyes, blinking, all of these actions involve the tangible object striking the body base at some place. So the tangible object, what can be felt, is the striker. And it strikes anywhere in the body that there is moisture. So at the time of contact between the tangible object and the body base, one knows hardness or softness or stiffness. So this is touch consciousness. This is the spark. Even when opening, closing, and blinking the eyes, these things are apparent. If one opens one's eyes and stares at something, if one does this for a long time, stiffness occurs. The surface of the eye becomes stiff. And this is because the water that is on the surface of the eye dries up. And so this feels uncomfortable. But then there's an unpleasant feeling and the intention to blink the eye, the intention to close the eye and then open it again. And at that time, the base, the striker, and the spark are all occurring in this moment of the eye blinking, closing, and then opening again due to the intention arising. These elements of the base, the striker, and the spark can be observed by yogis who are careful in the practice. Yogis who are careful can observe and note all these details. So in touching too, the mental and physical, nama and rupa, are occurring in a combination. There are things that we don't directly see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But it's as though we're seeing, as though we're hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. These are imaginations. And these objects arise in the mind. It's as though we see. It's as though there is seeing or hearing. When one of these objects strikes the bhavanga, that is the consciousness that keeps us alive, it's a type of consciousness that occurs when there's no sense experience happening, then this bhavanga is called the mind door. And these type of imaginary objects strike the mind door. And at that time, it's as though one is really seeing something, really hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or knowing. So in this moment too, nama and rupa, the mental and physical, are really occurring. We note it just as it seems, seeing, seeing, hearing, hearing. And at this time too, the base element, the striker element, and the spark element can be known. And later, one comes to know the mental and physical phenomena that are happening in the moment. Why does one come to know? One comes to know because one is applying effort, ardent effort, to know every arising object. And due to the effort, sati arises. There's no laziness. And sati keeps the mind clean. It keeps kilesas from coming into the mind. So it makes the mind secure. And because of sati, the mind falls collectedly on the object. So the mind is clean, calm, and collected. There's no desire to see good things, hear, smell, taste, touch, think good things. There's no kamachanda, nivarana, no obstacle of sense desire occurring. So this is the clean mind that is able to know true nature. And first of all, one comes to see that there's nama and rupa, mental and physical components occurring. One comes to know this not because one imagines it or thinks about it, but because one is applying effort. And due to the effort, sati arises, sticks to the object. The mind becomes collected, and then knowledge arises. So one knows then, that's just nama, that's just mental, well, that's just physical. And when one knows the mind and body, the view of self is dispelled. When one knows that it's just mental and physical phenomena occurring, one knows that there is no self to be found. If one continues to practice, one's effort, sati, and samadhi increase, and one comes to know how mental and physical phenomena are related as cause and effect. So first of all, one sees that there's the base element, the striker element, and the spark. These are just true nature, just elements occurring. And when one sees this, one no longer holds the view of self. When one sees how things are related as cause and effect, one comes to see that there's no one causing these experiences. There's no creator involved. And one becomes free of doubt. So those who really practice, who really apply themselves, come to realize the cause-effect relationship within 1 week. So now it's been a few weeks. And having understood this cause-effect relationship, if one continues to practice, one is sure to develop vipassana knowledge. When one tries to note and know every time an object arises, one tries to note so as to observe the base, striker, and spark, one's effort becomes good. And due to the strength of one's effort, sati also becomes good. Due to the strength of one's sati, kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, also becomes strong. And these factors increase bit by bit as we continue to practice. So one first of all comes to see that there's just mental and physical phenomena in whatever one is experiencing. Seeing that there's just nama and rupa destroys the view of self. And further, when one continues, one comes to see how sitting down occurs due to the intention to sit, and not otherwise. Seeing occurs due to the eye base and the form. One comes to know how things really are. This knowledge arises naturally. If one works to develop the practice, one will not one will not fail to know these things. One will definitely come to know these things automatically. And further, as one continues, one comes to see. Just now it arose, and it passes away. It arises, then it passes away. One will come to see this automatically as one continues to observe. It's not a matter of thinking about it. So tomorrow, Seiroji will continue about this topic, since the hour is already up. That's all for today.